What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Sederman. Joining me today, as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
Surprised you didn't throw in a little subtle, like very corny, not funny joke about the Sixers Thursday.
Nope.
What's today? Wednesday night. I'm live from Denver, Colorado, the city of bitter NBA fans, useless analytics, and cringe quarterbacks. That's kind of what Denver has to offer so far from what I've seen. And as it stands now, there's 2 minutes and 10 seconds left in game two of Sixers Celtics, where the Sixers trail by. Stay with me here. You know, the math's not great and it's a lot.
16. It's never good 35. When you need the calculator.
35 points. The Sixers trail with 2 minutes left. And to be quite honest, I don't really care. Monday,
we did our job, guy.
Monday night.
You don't.
You gonna let me talk, or you just gonna try and run the entire show?
Go ahead.
That's what I thought. Monday night was electric. Monday night was a night that I'll remember for a long time. Monday night was a night that James Harden stands will remember for a long time. And the Sixers stole one without Embiid. Embiid comes back tonight, and you know, I think I saw a stat before the game, like when the home team loses game one in the second round, in game two, the home team is like 19-1 ATS, covering by an average of 10 points. And listen, you can't win basketball games if you don't make shots. The Sixers made a lot of shots and the Celtics didn't on Monday night. And then today the Celtics role players come out and play a game. You've got Malcolm Brogdon going 6 of 10 from 3, Grant going 4 of 8, and the Celtics just shooting 40% from 3. And if this is their role player game, fine. I'm very confident that we are the better basketball team, and I'm very confident that we're still going to win this series. I saw a lot that I liked in game one.
Did you want to do cap of the week now? I was confused. I didn't realize that's what you were doing.
You know, Jack, they say that those who live in glass houses
should not throw stones.
Jack is walking around talking about the Sixers right now as if the Knicks aren't tied 1-1 going on the road now.
Yes.
And if I had to guess, let's just double check this real quick. Are the Knicks underdogs in this series?
We're minus 102 to their minus 116.
Okay.
You guys are back to plus 250 to their minus 400.
Correct. Yep.
Right. So as of this moment in time, who's got the better odds by the odds to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals?
The Knicks. Now you want to do the NBA Finals? You want to do the NBA Finals now? Let's go. Just
no,
because
if you don't get to the next round,
you can't actually win the sportsbook. It's not possible to win. When
you
go on the sports book, it says NBA Finals odds, and it shows six teams, and it doesn't show the rest of the teams. I think you have to hit show more.
Show more. Yeah.
Oh, there the Knicks are at the bottom. Got it. Okay.
What are we at? What are we at?
Plus 1,800.
You know, hang the banner for the fifth consecutive year. Sixers title odds are in the top six. And Sixers tapped out in the second round.
It's very convenient for Jack to be talking his shit right now, considering he didn't watch an ounce of game one, a second of game one, and didn't see anything, and is just box score watching, and then watches game two. So take his analysis with a grain of salt.
So give the analysis. What happened to? Are you just chalking up to shot making? Because my boy JoJo. Hey, let's give a round of applause for Joel Embiid. Let's give a round of applause. You got to celebrate. He won MVP. You're not excited? You don't seem excited, Abe.
I'm just not dealing with your sarcasm right now.
I'm being
serious. If you actually want to talk about Joel winning MVP and not be a cuck about it, then we can talk about it.
Yeah,
because
he won
genuinely,
MVP.
Genuinely, I have friends and family who have done amazing things in their individual lives, and I've been so proud of them, everyone from Jack to other people in my life, to my mother, to my brother, everybody. No disrespect to any of you whatsoever. I still love you all. I've never been more proud of a human being in my life than I was watching Joel Embiid win that MVP trophy, because just knowing what he's been through for so long, the last 7 years, and for it to, like, his story and everything, starting basketball at age 15, everything, the high school clips, to see him get MVP was fucking awesome, and you control all you want because it's an MVP. I really don't care. At the end of the day, I'm just very happy for Joel Embiid, similar to how you were probably for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And I was for Bryce Harper. I just happen to have a lot more MVPs. But at the end of the day, there's bigger fish to fry. You stole one in Boston. That's great. Go home. Defend home court. They had their role players hit shots tonight. We didn't hit shots tonight. It happens. That's basketball. We move forward. We're tied 1-1. I'm not worried at all.
You're not – there's not a inkling of concern?
I mean, yeah, you'd much rather be up 2-0 going home than up 1-1, of course.
So like, when you say you're not worried.
Like, everyone's a prisoner of the moment. And
you
like,
can be confident, though, and still have concerns. I'm confident the Knicks have a good chance to win the series. I have concerns.
I think we're too reliant on the three ball. Win the series, are the better team, and it just comes down to executing.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But, hey, we'll see how it plays out over the next
final score.
Five
Sixers
games.
Lose by carry to 1-3.
Carry
13, 34.
Nice. You know, it is what it is. It doesn't matter, though. That's the thing.
That's the thing. And it's like,
let me make an argument.
Hold on. This is a point I wanted to make about the other night. And this is what I want to talk about the playoffs in general. If you look at the box score the other night for the Sixers game, if you box score watch, you would say, ew, Maxi was terrible. I think he was like 7 of 24 from the field or something. Something around that nature. But that's the thing about the playoffs. If you shoot 5 of 20 from the field, 5 of 25, but those 5 are in impactful plays in key moments of the game, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you lose by 34. It doesn't matter if you lose by 1. It just matters that you win or lose the game no matter what the box score is, no matter if your player – there's no inefficiencies really in the playoffs. Did you step up in the big moment? Did you make the play at that time despite what happened in the rest of the game? And Tyrese Maxey did that in game 1 in a huge way in that third quarter. And you know what? It's going to happen. These games are going to happen, and listen, they couldn't miss. They were unconscious. They came out with all the pressure against the wall, and that's been the Celtics apparently all year. They do terrible against prosperity and great against adversity, and that was in full force tonight.
Well, what I was going to say is it's almost a throw-out-the-tape kind of game, which Doc actually might do because he's a numbnut, but it's like – you didn't go in and almost get the second, and it makes it feel like, damn, missed opportunity. I would make that argument about the Miami Heat. I know that they stole one and they got one in game 1, but if I'm a Miami Heat fan, and I'm only speaking about this from a Knicks perspective from last series, when you get one on the road, yes, you did your job, but you still got to protect. And if you split at home, then you've lost leverage. Obviously, you lost home court, and you lose a little bit of momentum. When we came back to New York 1-1, game 3, I felt an immense amount of pressure. We won that game. Game 4, I felt an immense amount of pressure. Game 5, it was like, I don't want to go back to the Garden, because if you lose to the Garden, then you go 7 and you're toast. So the Heat, I just wouldn't be as confident as them. We would be apparently getting our boy Foster in game 7. So you don't want it to go the distance if you're the Heat, because, you know, then you're playing 6v5. But the Knicks escape without a doubt. And this is the point that a lot of people were upset about me on Twitter about. I said, yes, the Knicks escaped. And I understand who's coming back for Miami. It's the best player in the series. But the way that people are talking about the Knicks played this B-level roster is how they talk about when the Sixers beat the Hawks with, you know, all 5 starters out. Newsflash, those guys, Hero's not coming back. Oladipo's not coming back. Kevin Love, Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, Kyle Lowry are playing 30 minutes the rest of the series. The only guy that's coming back is Jimmy Butler. Now, that's not to underestimate who that only guy is. I understand who he is. But he's coming back on a hobbled ankle. I know he's tough as nails. I know he's the man. He also did sit out on Tuesday night. For a guy who is the toughest guy in the gym, he did sit out. So what's he coming back? And as much as we like to make fun of Joel Embiid, he probably shouldn't have played tonight because he's not at full health. No. I'm not saying from a strategy standpoint. I'm saying, like, he's rushed back and he's magically back on the floor. He's not fully healthy. Are you making the argument he's fully healthy?
No, he won't be fully healthy the whole run. But if you're healthy enough to play, you play. There's no sitting.
That's my point.
Even if he
That's
is.
My point. And the version of Joel Embiid tonight, who's blocking the shit out of some shots, but it's not 100% Joel Embiid. It's not his best version. There is no world where Joel Embiid will string together for the rest of the playoffs 20 more games like he did at an MVP level. He'll have his moments. He'll have nights. He'll find the time. But you just won't have that same floor that you had when he was fully healthy. And I'm going to make that same argument for Jimmy Butler. Could Jimmy go off for 35 on Saturday? Absolutely. But it's going to be tougher. We saw with Jalen Brunson, he was struggling on that ankle that he had. Julius Randle, struggling on the ankle that he had. There's just a lot to ask. And all I wanted to get the point across was that this Heat team, everyone's like, oh, it's their B team. It's the same damn team that's going to be out there plus one other guy. It's not like they're getting their whole starting lineup back. So I feel good as a Knicks fan. My concerns are we actually shot the shit out of the ball late in that game. We got gifted the game by the referees. But in the same vein, I think there is merit to the fact, and we saw it with the Sixers. When your star is out, you play a different brand of basketball. You chuck up threes, and your guys, your reserves come into the game with a mentality, we got nothing to lose, so we might as well play that way. As opposed to tonight, where Harden and Maxey, maybe they're trying to get Embiid involved early on, get him going, get him back in the flow, and it just completely disrupts your game plan. So I actually think the Knicks are in the best place, and the Celtics, if their opposing star player is not a full version of himself. If they're 90%, of course you want them there. But tonight, from what I saw Joel Embiid, even if it wasn't a health thing, he just hadn't played in, what, 7-10 days? He just didn't look like he knew what to do with the speed, because you got to catch back up to that. So I feel good about the Knicks. I'm not saying we're going to win the next four. Like, I think Boston could win a few of the next coming games. But
you think they could, or they will, like you said before the red button went on? Don't shy away from the red button.
Red button was on.
Don't shy away from the red button if you think the Celtics are going to win the next four games, three games now.
I think there's probably some value to it, but I would hope Philly would get one at home. I would hope so. What's the spread going to be?
At home?
Yeah. Because people said that Philly's going to be dogs.
I think so.
Huh.
I think so. After losing by 40 and then Joel being iffy the reason that I'm overly not worried about the Sixers is because I thought there were a lot of things. Like, Monday night showed me that what I thought this entire year, and it was like, we just got to wait to the playoffs to see. Historically, in the past 5 years or whatever, 6 years, this team has been mentally weak. They have just been immature and not a resilient basketball team. That wasn't the case all regular season with this team. They were winning games that they shouldn't have. They had the most 15-point comebacks in the NBA, which was usually they give up the most 15-point comebacks in the NBA historically. And then you saw that on Monday night. The Celtics make a big run. And listen, it came down to James Harden being vintage James Harden. But I did leave Monday night a bit worried about some things that revolve around the Sixers. And had those things come into effect tonight, the transition defense, the lack of rim protection, everything, the open looks that they were getting, had that come into, or the open looks that, or the tough shots we were making, had that come to fruition tonight, I would be worried when you lose by 40. But I didn't see that tonight. Tonight I saw the Sixers actually getting good looks and simply them not falling at the end of the day. And then the third quarter happens, the crowd gets into it, the role players are going 6-10. It fucking happens. I really don't care if you lose by 40, you lose by one. You lose in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. As far as
I think the Celtics are getting good looks with Joel in the lineup, and I think that's going to be something that I'm just curious how they react to that. Like, the Celtics were very conscious about moving Joel out of the paint in the second half, spacing him out so that they could attack the rim or getting
more
wide open.
They were also prayer shots in the second half. Like, it was like a lot of them were throw your hands up, Malcolm Brogdon from 3 feet behind the line. If Malcolm Brogdon's going 7 of 10 from three, if Malcolm Brogdon's going 7 of 10 from three for the rest of the series, yeah, we're in trouble. I'll say that.
That's the sixth man of the year.
I'll say that. It's my sixth man of the year. I'll give you that. All right. As far as the Knicks Heat series go, though.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, this series, I feel like everybody, all the talking heads on TV, on the internet, have said, like, nobody really knows how to analyze this series. It's been fucking weird because nobody really knows or trusts the Knicks nationally, I'll say, for valid reasons. They're new here. Like, Jalen Brunson's his first year playoff star Knicks. First year playoff for the Knicks.
He was in the Western Conference Finals last year.
And then the Heat have just do this thing where Jimmy's a 16-game player, and then they turn into that experienced team. And to me, that's what it comes down to, is they're heading back home tied 1-1. We're heading back home tied 1-1. You guys are the road team. I think that's where the experience or lack thereof for the Knicks is going to show. That's just my honest opinion.
Okay. Knicks have been one of the best road teams in the league all season long.
Yeah.
That's why I've got confidence in the group. I think we win game three. I could see it being done in five. I could see it being in seven.
You going to South Beach at all?
No plans to go to South Beach. Some engagement obligations, unfortunately, kind of throw a wrench in the plans. I could make it down there, but I'm hoping maybe we're in the comfy finals. Plus, I'll be at game five at home, and I would be at
game seven. I think I'm hitting South Philly for Sunday for game four.
Yeah. If you guys had won tonight, I would have made the trip just to.
I think I went to game four against the Raptors series too. We went up 2-1 and then lost that game, obviously, because I was there.
Yeah. Let's flip to the West. Let's start with the city you're in. You said you have faith. Chris Paul now out with a groin, or day to day with a groin. Ready to bury the Phoenix Suns, or see, you're hopeless.
Chris Paul hurts. Listen, I'm gonna be straight up 1,000% honest. I have the Kevin Durant blinders on. I have they have Kevin Durant, so I truthfully cannot count them out blinders on. And I've had those on for years. That's just how special I think Kevin Durant is. Without Chris Paul, on a normal team, had they lost this Chris Paul, I probably would have thrown my hands up being fine, so what? But this team has nothing off the bench.
Nothing.
Like, now it's KD and Booker go combine for 80 and try and find 30 points elsewhere and then play good defense.
And that's a question mark, if they'll be able to find the 30.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't the Suns down 2-0 in some series? They lost 2 on the road the year they went to the finals. Granted, this is a whole different team. They had a lot of depth, and they had a lot of depth. This team doesn't, and there's more firepower.
They're up 2-0 on Milwaukee.
Maybe that's what it was. I'm not ready to bury the Suns yet, and I'll be straight up. The only reason is they have Kevin Durant and the Nuggets don't. That's it.
Yeah, and I'm going to continue to beat this point home, is that Kevin Durant in the postseason outside of the tech bubble.
He's been bad.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about in this playoffs. He's just never gotten it done with a unit. You know, he went to the finals once with that young Thunder squad, but he's never been there. He got swept in Brooklyn with a squad last year. He won one playoff series in his entire time there. I don't have that same affinity for Kevin Durant in the play. Like, I get not doubting LeBron James. I don't give Kevin Durant that benefit of the doubt. I really don't.
It doesn't have to do with Kevin Durant in the playoffs. It's just Kevin Durant, the basketball player.
Right. But we're in the playoffs, and he doesn't get that benefit of the doubt from me. And you say they have Kevin Durant. Well, Abe, as much as you hate Vorp and you hate the Mile High, he's a good player in Denver.
I don't hate the Mile High.
He's a good player, and it's time to maybe acknowledge that. I picked them to come out of the West to start the playoffs. I still plan on them coming out of the West, but the Lakers take game one in Golden State. The Warriors shoot 16 and make 16 threes in the first half of that game, which was a franchise record for them in a half. Quite shocking, even though it's a lot of damn threes. But the Lakers withstood it. Anthony Davis scored 23 points on 9 of 10 in the first half. This is crazy, Abe, and I'll put on the LeBron hater hat for this conversation. LeBron James is not being used as a primary ball handler. This is not the LeBron James of years past. LeBron James has finally taken a back seat. You know, there were the years with D Wade where there was a conversation, who's taking the last shot. LeBron James is no longer the star of LA. He's still the guy. He's not, though. That's the thing. I'm telling you, because I see LeBron stands.
You tell me a lot of stupid shit.
But this isn't me saying it. I'm bringing the point to the table from other people. These are people who are diehard LeBron fans, who watched him in Cleveland, who are Cavs analysts. These are Lakers. LeBron James is not the primary player anymore. It's Anthony Davis, and he's not even like the clear number two. It's like him, Reeves, Russell. It's bizarre to watch. With all that being said, the Lakers are up 1-0, and they look really good. They withstood a lot of Warriors threes. Warriors made a late run. Jordan Poole chucking from the parking lot for a couple baddies. Didn't go down. But any thoughts? You get a chance to watch that game?
Probably, no, I actually watched it a lot, and I watched it on YouTube. I watched the first half, and then I watched it on YouTube this morning. That was kind of like the quintessential what we expected in the Lakers Warriors. The Lakers got everything they wanted to at the rim, and the Warriors were shooting for the heavens. And that's kind of what the series is for me, is that the Lakers can kind of pick their spots, shoot threes, get to the basket, where the Warriors are living and dying by the three more so than they have in past years. And I think the Warriors made more threes than the Lakers attempted, and the Lakers won the game. If that isn't the most like 2002 NBA basketball, then I don't know what is. And you know what's funny is, because we're seeing Gluck on the court all series, is Draymond Green's like unplayable in this series. He truthfully is. Like, for how good and dominant and Dennis Rodman, Kevon Looney's been, you can't play him and Draymond with each other on this lineup. I just don't know what use Draymond has for this lineup in this series specifically. But listen, could Steph have 50 and the Warriors steal a game? By the numbers, by the ATS stat that I read at the beginning of this, in terms of home teams losing game one, the Warriors are probably a fucking lock tomorrow. As far as the Lakers go, I saw a tweet that kind of perfectly said it. This isn't the best supporting cast LeBron has ever had. However, this is the most support LeBron's ever gotten from his supporting cast. And I think that's a good point, is because like,
but he is the supporting cast.
1A, 1B. We'll call it.
No, it's not.
I'm not going to argue this. I don't really care.
It's not, though.
Okay, you're right. I don't care. He's never had before, like, when has he had like three or four players that like aren't always getting rotation tick, but you can trust two of them to get it for that game and to produce? I don't think LeBron's ever had that type of supporting cast off the bench, and it's scary. And I'm firmly still in the camp of the winner of this series goes to the winner of the Sixers Celtics, the winner of the Lakers Warriors. That's your NBA Finals.
All right, so you're taking Celtics dubs?
Sixers Lakers.
That would be tough for you. Or it doesn't matter because LeBron's not the best player on the team.
Beat the Celtics, win the championship.
Okay. I still am cool with my Warriors in seven pick, but last night I agree it's tough to see them both on the floor. Draymond said in his own podcast that he was awful. He was embarrassingly bad in game one. Love him or hate him, Draymond Green shows up. And he will make an impact, whether it's flopping and hurting day-to-day Davis or right. Hitting some shot. I don't know what it's going to be, but he'll make some form of an impact in game two. And I've got the Warriors.
Got triggered by a little Draymond stuff real quick. It was not cuck of the week, or I would have made this it. But this guy is so out of touch with reality and thinks he's God's gift from above. His fucking quote after game seven of the King series about losing respect for Sabonis because he didn't shake his hand. Brother, you tried to put your foot into the core of the earth going through his chest. You think he respects you? Do you think Jordan Poole respected you 4 days after you socked him in the eye? No. When you do that type of bullshit and those type of shenanigans, people are going to lose respect for you. This guy does not understand that actions have consequences. Draymond doesn't forget respect Sabonis. Everyone should look down on Sabonis now. Draymond, whatever Draymond says goes. Shut up. He has no fucking awareness of how humanity works with this type of shit. He thinks he can do and say whatever, and that's why I hate him, and that is why I hope that when his contract expires this year, he gets the Dylan Brooks. They won't bring him back by any means necessary.
Was that the meanest thing that's ever happened in NBA media, that tweet?
There's definitely other notables out there, but That tweet was chef's kiss. And it was a rare moment in time outside of Kendrick Perkins and Steven Jackson where the entire internet was kind of in the hoorah camp.
Yeah. So Dylan Brooks not being brought back. They could have just said that he's not being brought back. And then they had
Shams. Or they could have just not brought him back and didn't say
right, anything. Right.
Like there was a leak. Like that didn't come out from the Grizzlies. It didn't.
Yeah. And then they added on with Shams saying, no one around the league is interested. That is my cap of the week. I am going on record with this could be my first 0.0% guarantee of 2023. A 0.00000% chance that Dylan Brooks is not in the NBA next season. I don't care how much you hate him. I don't care how many shots he misses. Dylan Brooks is playing in the NBA next season.
They already said there's an interest around the league. Like, for as no, many... He said
no,
there
the
is.
The tweet was that there is no interest.
I don't believe that's true. That might be cap of the week.
I know for a fact. I can pull up the screenshot. I posted it on the Snapback Sports story literally today. An early look around at his market.
Taylor, sorry.
I read that wrong.
Shocker.
All right, then I got to pivot back. My cap of the week is that Embiid is valuable. I mean, he's valuable if he doesn't play. I mean, if that's the type of value you're looking for. Guy's just not a playoff player because his style of game
doesn't fit
the playoffs.
What's his style of game? Since you watch so much Joel Embiid basketball, it's actually not. You actually don't know ball and
didn't
watch
say
any.
Back. I said,
oh yes, you did. Yes, you did. Run it back. Run the tape, Eagleson.
I said back. Back to back games is not his style of ball. His style of ball is a catch and hold. It's why Julius Randle struggles in the playoffs. Embiid, I know the Nets, they came with a quick...
You simply don't watch him.
I do watch him in the playoffs every year, get bounced. Because what happens is the foul baiting, the free throw shooting numbers drop. He gets doubled in the playoffs, so the ball's out of his hand. We know this is a fact. Guards and wings dominate in the postseason. The only reason Jokic has an opportunity to dismantle that theory is because his passing's elite. It's absolutely elite, and he's spectacular. Joel Embiid, it doesn't mean he's the worst player in the playoffs by any stretch. It's just his game. Jimmy Butler goes to here because he's a playoff-type player. His game fits and molds to the playoffs. And Joel Embiid goes from here, the MVP, the best player in the league, to here. And then James Harden hits Vegas and, you know, goes 2-for-14 tonight. And the Sixers are...
What do you mean?
They're in trouble.
He hits Vegas and had 45. He didn't go to Vegas and went 2-for-14.
That's true.
So maybe get it right.
Maybe you should fly out there.
My cap of the week, and I found my team for this year, Jack, your Colts of last year, goes out to Jonathan Gannon. This fucking weirdo, the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and this isn't really Eagles hate at all, like, whatever. He has been lying every step of the way since he's been a Cardinals coach. First, when he first got there, he said they didn't have contact until after the Super Bowl. Howie Roseman approached him and said, Arizona wants to interview you. Well, the day of the draft, the NFL literally forces a trade upon the Cardinals and the Eagles because they investigated a tampering situation in which Cardinals owner called Gannon after the NFC Championship because he could stop Christian McCaffrey at quarterback and said, we want to interview at some point. He then goes on to bash the Philadelphia market saying, I don't know how many people can coach in that city. We had stat A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and they all wanted me fired. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Well, A, B, D, F, G were all factually incorrect stats that the Eagles had at one point, this type of best defense giving up these many points per game. Twitter went back, capped 4 out of 7 of the facts that he said.
Respect.
And then I watched this guy talk in his press conference about the tampering situation and everything. And it's like you saw the one clip that when he met his first players, like it was so cringe and so awkward, just a pew, pew, pew. And the guy's like, what the fuck? Like, just the Cardinals suck, right? But the reason that I'm going to take their under is this guy. Like, look at him. Look at what Adam Gase was like. And just look at them as humans. Hold on. Just look at them as humans and being like, they can't lead a football team. a football team. They could coach high school lacrosse and probably be very successful at it. Football, where these guys are making millions of dollars and probably think they're better than you, and you kind of have to let them be better than you and be a player's coach at some point and also know when to stick your foot in the door and to be the hard guy. Cardinals under, Cardinals under, Cardinals under. It might only be 5.5. I don't care. Start looking at Caleb Williams if you're the Arizona Cardinals. Jonathan Gannon is trash. And it's not even personal or bitter.
So I know it's not personal or bitter, but it's this weird situation where you shit on your ex. And I need to understand if that is somewhat a reflection on you. Meaning, all I've heard from Eagles fans is how Gannon didn't do anything. And then,
well, that's maybe a fact. In the Super Bowl, he didn't.
Just the Super Bowl?
It was an up and down season for Jonathan Gannon for sure.
So is there question marks about the Eagles defense in general, or it was just a Gannon thing? That's what I'm trying to understand. Eagles have one of the top defenses in the league, but Gannon was awful? Because that is what it's gotten to. That's what it's gotten to on Twitter. It's gotten to he did nothing, he was terrible, he's the worst, and he should be fired.
He was not awful at all, and that is not the vibe on Eagles Twitter whatsoever. Maybe it's the vibe that you're seeing, but nobody in Philadelphia thinks Jonathan Gannon. People hated Jim Schwartz way more than they hated Jonathan Gannon. The Eagles had 85 sacks this year. He got to the quarterback. Granted, they had an unbelievable defensive line and great players on that line, but there were a lot of questionable plays in big moments against Dallas in the regular season, against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, where he left a lot to be desired and didn't make a lot of adjustments. And my cap of the week with him has nothing to do with him, X's and O's wise. It's look at the guy. He's a boner. He's been lying the entire time. He looks afraid to be in interviews. And the Cardinals suck in general. So I'm just going to take it under. Simple as that.
All right, let's talk more boners. The internet graphic of the week, Aaron Rodgers said, "I'll be there more than half of our practices." First of all, shout out to A-Rod. A-Raj, as they call him. Man is doing the press tour all around New York. Knicks, Rangers, Knicks. He's all over the place. I'm sure he's been at a Yankees game. Him and Saucy G, they're best friends. Garrett Wilson said, "Everyone in the building's all smiles." Slightly awkward that Zach Wilson's fully on the team, but he's probably banging mom somewhere, so he's okay. Aaron Rodgers said he'll be at more than half of the practices. Quotes completely out of context. I have no clue what the context is because Eagleson only gave us this context. I'm going to say he said it in a joking manner because maybe he was only at some of the practices last season. It was a big deal for Packers fans. I think he's been in good spirits. He actually seems like he wants to be in New York. Heck of a celeb row last night. Sauce, Rodgers, Turtle, Jerry Ferrara from Entourage, and Schmidt from New Girl. I mean, just a great cast.
I didn't know you were a New Girl guy.
Of course. Show's good.
Yeah, Rodgers is he's really doing the whole New York scene. He's got a haircut. He looks kind of handsome. He's doing New York. He's doing shit on the weekdays, which is what I hate. He's doing shit on the weekdays. He's going to Rangers game one night, Knicks game the other, Rangers game the next. And you know what? Cut the guy a break. It's not a PR tour. It's like the guy lived in lived in Green Bay, Wisconsin for 15 years and came to New York City. It's like when Borat came to America. He's seeing all this shit for the first time. Let the guy live a little bit. I know he's an absolute weirdo, but Green Bay, Wisconsin, biggest city in the universe. It's a big change.
It is. I want to get this take on tape. I was thinking about this on the way to the gym. It feels like everyone has a polarizing thought on Rodgers and the Jets this season, right? It's like Jets fans we're Super Bowl contenders. We've been a quarterback away. Dolphins fans are they're still the third best team in the division. Probably won't make the playoffs. Rodgers is washed, blah, blah, blah. My polarizing take is I just think they're going to be good. A 10, if they won 10 games, that would seem right. If they won 11, it wouldn't shock me. If they won 12, it wouldn't shock me. If they won 8, it wouldn't shock me. I think they're just going to be good, and it depends how many of those close games they win in a tough division. So I'm getting that take on paper. I'm not coming in with a hot take on the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers. I'm not saying they're cuties this year, and I'm not saying they should be Super Bowl favorites. I think they're in the lower category of contenders for me.
I view them the exact same way, and I want to preface this by preseason. Let's say May 3rd last year, August last year, that I felt about the Denver Broncos. Now, granted, that was an entire shit show that went down, and nobody is foreseeing Aaron Rodgers to take the downfall that Russell Wilson did in a given season. I think that was an anomaly. But in terms of from a preseason projection, this is like, it's not the NBA, right? It's not where you can just slot a superstar player in there and assume like how they're going to do. Slotting KD with the Warriors. Yep, everyone knew how that was going to go. It's football is a different type of beast where it is a superstar league from the quarterback position, but at the same time, it's a 53-man roster, and just slotting in an elite quarterback on an up-and-coming team, there's a lot to be found out. And it's what I felt about the Broncos last year, and it's what I feel about the Jets this year. Would I be surprised if they went 13-4? Nope. Would I be surprised if they went 10-7? Nope. Would I be surprised if they went 8-9? Nope. But when you get down to the 5-12 range that Denver got in, whatever it was, that's where the shot comes in.
It's surprising. Yeah. It's funny. We are on the same page here. I thought the exact same thing. It's the same situation.
I think they could be good. They could be great. They could be, eh. But like, yeah. We'll find out. It's football. It's not basketball.
Yeah. All right. It's time for...
But I know that they're better than the Dolphins.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. It's time for Ranked. We are ranking the greatest inventions of all time. The third greatest invention of all time is the wheel.
I don't even think you know what the wheel is or does. I'm just saying that before you go into your explanation. I think you wrote down, well, this is my guess, I think you wrote down wheel because you've heard that it's like the best invention ever, and it just like is the right answer. But I don't actually think you know about the wheel.
Are you telling me I don't know what a wheel is?
Like the wheel.
The wheel is this like spoked circle that would make carriages go round and round and round. But I could be talking the Wheel of Fortune. I could be talking about a roulette wheel. I could be talking about a wheel of cheese. I could be talking about the
Bastard.
wheel.
You ate the whole wheel of cheese? I'm not even mad. It's impressive.
The reason why
with that.
The wheel is a top three invention of all time is because it's one of those inventions that makes me wonder who the fuck was just like, all right, we're going to do this. And then it became that. Like fire, I think probably happened by accident. You know what I mean? Like two rocks.
For those of you who are
together.
Thinking that Jack and I are lighting the Mary Jane right now and having deep conversations, we promise you we are not.
Fully sober. But seriously, that's probably in that category of early inventions where it's like, who even thought to do that?
My thing with that type of thought is words. Like, does someone just make a noise and being like, let's give that meaning? And then like,
well,
doesn't the
no that originated
no, derived
from
Latin? Shut up.
No, but I think it's
somehow the
words
started.
Yeah, it started with images and sounds, and it evolved. That I agree. That shit's made up for sure. But the wheel is something physical that was made out of thin air. And it was just like, who even thought? Like, what came first, gravity or the wheel? Like, I know gravity did. But the wheel probably came before, like, Einstein defined gravity. So who the fuck was like, how do you break this thing? Like, how do you put a brake on this wheel once it gets going? So, yeah, wheel at number three for me.
My number three goes out to, and granted, I made this list about 45 minutes ago when the Sixers were down 40. I wasn't in the best headspace. My number three goes out to the analytics are Vorp and Raptor because a lot of people would probably do a lot of dangerous things to themselves if they couldn't have those two metrics to hold on to and to boast up their player. So for the good of humanity and the population in Denver, I want to say that I'm glad that Vorp and Raptor exist so that, you know, there are more happy people in the world. So that's my number three. My number two, I think I've said this actually 50 times on this podcast before, and I'll always be a believer of it, is Twitter. Like the orgy that myself and Sixers fans had on the timeline, it doesn't just apply to Sixers fans. It's every single fandom group. You win a big regular season Saturday night ABC game in March. Like the timeline after a big win, especially a game where you weren't supposed to go in the playoffs, it's a fucking party. And then the Sixers lose by 40 tonight. I'll probably pull out Twitter when I get up off this podcast, scroll for 20 minutes, and be crying laughing at the self-deprecating humor that people can put on that app. Whether you want to cry, whether you want to, you're sad, whether you want to learn about something, Twitter is the best. Everyone gets an opinion, which I know a lot of people aren't fans of, but when you don't take them seriously and it's Latax Fraud 123 talking the insults, like, it's never that deep. As long as you go into Twitter knowing it's never that deep and you don't become one of those things are getting deep on Twitter and I have to write maybe a notes app page to address a certain topic, then Twitter's the best, the absolute best.
I went with the iPhone at number two, which encompasses Twitter. I almost put Twitter number one, but my number one invention is the second round of the postseason. It's where Lamar Jackson, I see him mostly. It's where I get
mostly. To see you mean once?
Yeah, it's where the when we had the bye, we're in the second round too. It's where I get to see the Sixers crash out every year. It's where I get to see my new compatriot, Andrew Eagleson, hanging out in the second round. Second round of the playoffs. Just an incredible round. Round of 32 in March Madness. Always an exciting day. And I'm just so excited because I think we're going to do it. I think the Knicks might actually go to the conference finals. I think we'll lose.
No shit.
Yeah, I think that's probably the end of the road. But
no shit.
But if the Knicks make the conference finals and the Sixers don't, that's a banner. That's a banner for this podcast. between you've got Eagles going to the Super Bowl. You've got Lamar.
Put it next to the Kevin Kiermaier extra base hit banner at the Rogers Center in Toronto.
But if the Knicks go to the conference finals and the Sixers do not, that's probably the closest I'll get to a banner on this podcast. So I'm just excited. It's all in front of us right now. And what's your number one?
You talk so confidently about both series that are both the same result. And the one you're one that you're more confident about, you don't even have the home field. Really funny content and number one invention, second round of the playoffs. Like, you literally just like to hear yourself talk. My number one invention, and there's a million inventions. Everything's a fucking invention, so
yeah,
whatever. The list is obviously wrong. GPS. I remember, and a lot of the kids listening to this probably don't remember these days, Jack. I remember my mom used to drive me to Owings Mills, Maryland as a kid. To visit Jack and my buddy Quinn down in Maryland and to spend a good weekend. You know what she would say to me 15 minutes before we left, Jack? Can you go on MapQuest and print out the directions? You remember that shit?
I remember
all the time. You go into a car with 15 pieces of paper and you wonder why car accidents were probably up 10 years ago. No shit, people were texting and driving with paper the entire time. Trying to find out which turn, which exit, doesn't even tell you in 400 feet. If I had to use MapQuest nowadays to get around paper, you would have to add an hour to every single ETA that I gave you. Yeah. It's nuts. And now you have Waze that tells you, speaks to you. It's one of those things where it's like, no shit. Why didn't we have this before? Why not?
So when we went to Ocala, Florida, which is 90 minutes outside of Orlando last week for
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, last weekend it was the horse thing.
Yeah, for the horse auction. I actually said to the intern, I said, you know what's fucking crazy? You used to have to use a physical map.
The big ass thing with just scribbles everywhere?
How the fuck were... I'm not even talking MapQuest. I'm talking heads used to pull out a dead ass map and get from places.
You had to play Where's Waldo just to figure out where on the map you were.
Right.
Like, there's so many scribbles and X marks the dot. Well, granted, we're set.
How would you use a map? A solo trip with a map? Because I joked him. I was like, we're doing our baseball tour, 5 cities, 5 days. And I was like, should we just drive? And should we use a map? Like, could we get content out of trying to get from one place to another using a fucking map? Do you think you'd be able to do it? What's the furthest distance you think you would be able to go on by just using a physical map.
I can go anywhere, just successfully?
Successfully.
Not far. Once you get, like, exits and turns and U-turns involved, like, it's not, I don't think it's a road map. Like, it's not showing the physical roads.
No,
like,
it does.
But I was like, oh, so they're pretty high tech now. But it was just, like, longitude and latitude. Like,
no.
Due west.
Yeah, they're giving me, like, coordinates.
Genuinely,
on the map.
Genuinely, Jack, do you think that you could sit where you are right now, point that way, up to the left or the right, and tell me that you know if it's east or west?
Yes.
That's not fair because it's New York City.
Yeah, New York's a grid.
Denver? I have no fucking idea. But you know what the interesting thing about Denver is? They talk about the elevation, and I swear this is in cap, but we're driving from the airport to the hotel yesterday or today, and I'm like, I don't know why, but you know what? I do feel like I'm higher up than the world. Like, maybe it's the view of the mountains, but I actually said that to my coworker. I was like, this might be really stupid, but I like actually feel like I'm higher up. I don't know.
This has been speaking such of a which, good have pod. You been to Denver? I almost forgot about Eagleson. Yeah.
You been to the airport?
Wait, we told you about this.
No, forget the conspiracy theories.
Oh.
What about the fact that it actually took me 25 minutes to walk from my gate to the Uber? It's actually the biggest airport in the entire world.
Is it?
Nuts. It's crazy, and it's not even shit. It's just those electric freaking walk paths that make you walk super fast with nothing around it. All construction.
Those
Denver
could be top
Airport.
Three invention, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know why they're not everywhere. Like on the
like
roads.
In life. Yeah.
Sidewalks, yeah.
Yeah.
Denver Airport, 5.8 out of 10.
You got to do the conspiracies.
You're telling me I have to go hungover to my 10:30 a.m. flight on Saturday morning and try and find fucking ghosts in the Denver airport? Yeah. All right, I'm in.
All right, let's get Eagle Man in here because do we do Fins or Leafs? I know he's just been doing
it's
hockey.
It's the playoffs, so we'll let
it's the
go.
Cup. It's the cup.
Because it's the cup.
What up, cup boy?
Drop game one to the Florida Panthers. Not the best showing. They did outplay them. It was a little bit disappointing. But are you guys familiar with this corgi online, on TikTok mostly?
Oh, the prediction
the
corgi?
The one that shoots. Yeah, do you know about the duck too? You know about the duck downstream? You know the corgi predicted LeBron to blow a 3-1 lead to Steph.
Do you know about the hamster that predicts if spring's coming? Like,
whoa, he's a groundhog.
It's a groundhog.
Puck's a penny Phil or whatever.
These fucking
a hamster?
They've been using animals.
Disrespecting
for fake
to American legend.
People think because they got a dog shooting hoops on TikTok, it's original content. Humans have been using animals for awful predictions for their entire life.
Mans will hate analytics that tell you threes are worth more than twos, but they'll believe a fucking hamster that tells you that, you know, put the shorts away.
Look, it might be stupid, but it said they would lose game one and they were going to win in six. And I'm not going to lie, it made me feel better. That might be stupid, but genuinely, I'm like,
the corgi
said
we
were
going to
lose game one.
This is
like
the definition of religion.
Celtics and Knicks.
It's like they created this thing to make you feel better in your beliefs. So, you know what? If corgi hockey predictor makes you feel better. So what happens if like the Warriors win the next two? Or is it only in application to your series?
Yeah, I'm not watching those other ones, so I'm not really concerned.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're at with that. I also have
faith in the corgi.
Yeah, faith in the corgi. I have a real reffing conspiracy here within the NHL. So the Leafs lost game one against Tampa Bay, 7-3, 7-2, something pretty bad. And there was a referee during that game, Wes McCauley. He's probably one of the more famous refs in the NHL. A lot of people know him. His brother-in-law is not a great guy, okay? He had some, you know, like, bad interactions with minors, sexual stuff. Like, needed to change his name because, you know, a lot of bad shit. The kids that he was dealing with in this was the kids that our coach, the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe, coached in the minor leagues in like 2008. And Sheldon Keefe testified against Wes McCauley's brother-in-law for this whole thing. And they let Wes McCauley, who still very close with his brother-in-law, didn't, like, kick him out of the family or anything, like, still close, they let him ref that game. Does that not seem like a conflict of interest to you guys, like, whatsoever?
Did you just see the wheels turning as you kept going?
What,
I'm
like,
in. I'm
yeah, let's
in.
Go. Like, come I'm on. In. If they once let him...
It,
yeah,
once Eagleson said the word, who testified, I was like,
oh. Yeah, like, it legitimately
like
happened. And they
like
let
Stevie
him...
Wonder saying, what's up, Shaq, when Shaq walked in the elevator. Coincidence.
So if they let...
I'm in.
What, yeah, if they let Wes McCauley ref another game, which I don't see in any world they could do, like, come on. That just seems ridiculous to me.
Did Thoughts? You make bad calls in game one?
Yes, it was horrible. Like,
did you lose
and
because
I,
of the refs?
We lost, like, 7-2. Yes, they had so many more power plays than us. I
oh,
don't
wait,
have the...
Oh, you're talking about the Tampa series?
Yes, he only refed game one. That's why I'm saying that. He wasn't on the call for the rest of the games. But
so
that
what,
game one, we got... We got
he refed against the Panthers last night?
No.
No. But I'm saying if they, I'm saying for the remainder of these, because you can only ref, that crew can only ref one game
so
in
Eagleson's
series.
Conspiracy
so he can,
is all set around we should have won in five and not six.
No, it's not. He can still come back for the rest of the Panthers series, because your crew is allowed to ref one per series. So I'm saying if you see Wes McCauley's name on
take the
game sheet for the Panthers-Leaf series, I guess bet the Panthers.
Bet the Panthers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Are you telling me... O'Reilly hasn't scored once in his entire time in Toronto.
I believe that was only for the regular season, our little bet. I think he got one in the first round, nothing yet in the second round.
Okay.
Yeah. He's making a huge difference. Five. I don't think you guys don't want to hear my analysis of Ryan O'Reilly's play
no.
without scoring. Yeah.
No.
It's
been amazing.
He's been great.
Yeah.
The PJ Tucker of the Leafs, if you would.
Yeah,
I
was
hating sheet, but doesn't show up in the score sheet, but his impact is felt, huh?
100%.
PJ Tucker.
Is
yeah.
Was that scumbag Taylor Hall in the lineup?
For Boston? Like
no,
when they
for,
lost?
For the Leafs. Who's your boy?
You almost got it that time, actually. Justin Hall, what did you call him before? The fucking Rams receiver?
I don't remember.
Torrey Holt.
did he play game one?
No, he's probably played his last game in a Leaf uniform. He's done. He's done.
I think
also,
we got to bring him back.
No. He's done. He's never coming back. Can we also acknowledge that I completely called what was going to happen with Boston? They had the greatest regular season of all time, literally broke the wins record. And I said, like, months ago, they were going to lose in the first round because of their goaltending. And that's exactly what happened.
I'll be honest, yes, we'll give you credit. Congrats, Jack. Please
thank
snap
you.
With me. I, for the, like, the seven people that tweet about hockey on my timeline, all of them prior to the playoffs were saying that the President's Cup is a jinx and that everyone knows the Bruins are going to crash and burn.
Yeah, I mean the President's Trophy.
But hey,
first
hey,
is
we
real.
Gave you snaps.
I'll take
Eagleson
the snaps.
Did point to the goaltending specifically,
yeah.
Not just some curse.
I'm not taking back the snaps, brother.
Yeah. So we'll give him credit. All right. So Leafs in five,
mm-hmm.
Season five, Knicks in seven. That's where I am. I'm Dubs in seven, and I'm Nuggies in five. Abe, give us all your predictions.
Suns in seven. Lakers in... I don't know about that series, man. Lakers in six. Sixers in six. Heat in... five.
And the Leafs? Leafs, Cats?
I think the Leafs are going to lose when Sandusky of the NHL is reffing. That's my only prediction. I can say that. I went to Penn State.
All right. Last thing, then we'll go. Are you guys betting Mage with me this weekend at the Kentucky Derby? We're riding our boy Mage.
What are his odds? No.
Why?
Is he going to win?
He's the sleeper pick of
if
all.
If you say your payday, if he wins the Derby and Eagleson can bleep it out, then I'll take him.
No, I don't have a payday.
Oh, so why do I give?
I'm not even invested. How sick is that? Why do I care? He's 15-1 though. We're gonna throw a fad on him. So if anyone's looking for a Derby pick, on
does anyone
Saturday,
want an update on our MLB The Show league?
Mm.
If you scroll to the bottom of the standings, all the way down, you'll see two teams.
Not
Blue
anymore.
Jays and the Astros. You call it a dub? Getting... I gotta watch the video. I'm gonna go rewatch. I'm gonna watch episode 2 right now.
Big things coming soon. Oh, Eagleson. Also, yeah. By the way, for both of you, you two are actually driving the future of Snapback Sports because we've got the Rangers Devil vlog coming out tomorrow, Friday. Next week will be the Derby, and then our next three videos is Boston, Philly, Toronto playoffs, Blue Jays, and those three things won't happen if the Sixers lose in five, if Toronto doesn't make the conference finals. So I need you guys to make sure.
Hear that, Eagleson? We're valuable. We should hold out.
We got you covered. Don't worry.
No, we should hold out. Let's get a bag.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you
there is a writer's strike going on right now.
I bet you. I bet you Bleacher Report would sign a sad Leafs and Sixers fan. Eagleson, let's hop on a Zoom later this week. Set aside some time on my calendar. Let's hop on a Zoom. We'll connect and, you know, we'll evaluate all of our options in the media landscape.
I think that's smart.
Oh, who would have thought the Leafs and the Sixers, self-deprecating fans, are an asset.
Driving business.
I know. All right. Well, everyone have a great weekend. Abe, enjoy Denver. Safe travels on your way back to Philly. Eagleson, let's go Leafs. Let's go Knicks. Leafs. Let's go Mage. Much love. Peace.